We are talking about miracles. If there be no miracles, then God does not exist. God had to put miracles there for us to know that He is. Hallelujah. God is. Mark chapter 5, I'm going to read from verse 21. There's a lot involved with miracles. Hallelujah. Miracles are God's supernatural benevolent intervention in the affairs of man to cause to happen something which is needed, but ordinarily could not have happened without His intervention. It is something needed. God is not a magician. God does not do miracles just to entertain. Hallelujah. God is not an entertainer. Hallelujah. He works miracles because we need it. Amen. In Mark chapter 5, verse 21, when Jesus came to show us that the Father is still working miracles and brought us into working miracles also as Himself. Hallelujah. Christianity is based on the integrity of who Jesus is. It's not based on anything else. Jesus is the Son of God, and He came to demonstrate to us who He is, why He is here, or why He was here, and to show us who God is. In the book of Hebrews, before we put your finger there, let's go to Hebrews chapter 1. It says, "There God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He had appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory." Now, the brightness of whose glory? The Father's glory. Amen? "And the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of Majesty on high." Hallelujah. He said, "being made so much better than the angels, as He had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." But what I want you to see here is where He says that, "who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person," praise God. So He came to show us what the Father is like and what the Father does. And God is a miracle worker because He loves us. He loves man that He made. Praise the Lord. And God answers to our requests. God answers to the faith of His people. When we believe Him and call on Him, He will answer us. So miracles happen because we asked for it. We asked for it. Somebody, when a miracle takes place, somebody was requesting for it. God does nothing in the earth except in answer to man's prayers or requests. At least whilst the lease of the earth is in place, God will do nothing here without our inviting Him into it. So a lot of people blame God when things happen, evil things happen. Well, Adam and Eve, the original owners of the lease, gave the lease of the earth, the authority of that lease, over to the devil. And so the devil came in and brought sickness, disease, and death, and all the wicked things we see upon the earth. Killings, murder, or different kinds of stuff. Praise the Lord. We talked about some of that yesterday. Amen. Now, Jesus came and took back, recovered the lease of the earth. So all things belong to Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. But the principle of operation upon the earth is still the same, which is that God doesn't come into, like, you know, now, if you lease your property out to somebody, you don't just go there when you like and use your own keys, open the door, walk in there and go anywhere you like. It's your home, but you need their permission or consent, like He said, to get in there. Praise the Lord Jesus. And so God has given the earth, the Bible says that heaven of heavens is God's throne. The earth had he given to the children of men. Praise the Lord Jesus. So Jesus has the lease of the earth now. Amen? So God does nothing in the earth except in answer to prayer. God answers to the faith of his people. So if things are not going the way you want them to go, it has something to do with what you're asking for. Some people don't even bother to pray at all. So if you say there is no, if you don't believe that God is, all right, except some other person is believing for you, you cannot have a miracle. Because miracles don't happen because people were going up and, trying to insult God or trying to get him to prove himself. Anytime you go out there and trying to cause God to, you're trying to make God prove himself, you're actually inviting judgment rather than a miracle. Now, you can do some things ignorantly, but the state of your heart will say a lot. Like somebody really needs some help. And the person does not really know if God is there. So the person is not a Christian. So he says, oh God, if you're there, I really don't know. But please, if you're up there, do something for me. And in some cases, God will accommodate you. In a lot of cases, he might. Praise the Lord Jesus. He might not do it the way you think he's going to do it, but eventually you're going to know that he heard you and he did those things in his own time and in his own way. Praise the Lord Jesus. But when it comes to the children of God, God is obligated to do something because we know that he is. Hallelujah. In the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, the Bible says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That knocks out the atheist here. All right? So you can't come to somebody you do not believe exists. Although some of those atheists are fraudulent in their thinking and they're not sincere with themselves because they are angry with a God they say does not exist. Anytime you want to pray, they become angry. If somebody was playing Mickey Mouse or praying to Mickey Mouse, they would just laugh and walk away. Are they going to hold a protest? No. But when you say you want to pray to God, they start fighting, and all of that. It doesn't make any sense. If you don't believe he is, just let people be foolish with what they're doing, right? Amen. So they're not sincere with themselves. They have something else against God that they're not trying to tell us. Amen? Or they're not willing to admit to. Now, when Jesus, I'm reading verse 21, Mark chapter 5. And when Jesus was passed over again by sheep unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and it was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him and met people, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and she had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment. And she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see how they had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And somebody will be wondering, why was he fearing and trembling? Jesus was considered a rabbi, right? And when a woman is in her menstruation or has issue of blood, which is like an endless menstruation, that's the way I can put it, you know, this, you know, she had had this thing for 12 years. She's considered under the law of Moses to be unclean. And so she's not supposed to touch people, especially priests. So her touching Jesus, being a rabbi, could have killed her. She'll be stoned because she's supposed to be, when she's walking around saying unclean, unclean, and people are, you know, backing off. And she's, though that is mainly for people who have leprosy. Praise the Lord. So, but she secretly touched him and she got healed. And now he's asking, who touched me? Praise the Lord Jesus. He said, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. There's a lot to talk about in the scriptures that were read here. So I'm going to just be taking them one after the other. But we're still going to go on because it's not done yet. And while he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? And as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. I want you to underline 36. Now, underline also 34. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And they come into the house of the ruler of the synagogue and see at the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was coming, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And these professional mourners turned from mourning to laughter, and they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he threw them out. He taketh the father and the mother of the damsel and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talita kumi, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them strictly that no man should know it, and commanded that something be given her to eat. Praise the Lord Jesus. So what's happening here? We've read how that this ruler of the synagogue came to Jesus, all right, and told him about his daughter that was ill, and Jesus went with him. There's a lot we're going to learn here about faith for miracles. The beginning of a miracle is expectation. You have to have an expectation that God is real. God loves you. You know, when we're coming to God, God does not mind us overly depending on him. What I mean is being dependent on him. Actually, he does not want us to live by ourselves without his help. He wants us to believe that he is. God does not like it when we don't trust him or we don't believe him. Hallelujah. It takes believing God and trusting him to do miracles or to receive miracles. Now, what I'm sharing here can both help anyone who wants to work a miracle. Now, any believer can do miracles. Hallelujah. All that the believer needs is faith in God. So I believe God. I trust him. I have confidence that he will do what he has said. That's it. And I have confidence that Jesus is alive, because it is in his name that we do miracles. It is in the name of Jesus that the worker of miracles works miracles. The name is his. What we have is a delegated power, authority. We exercise it in his name. Hallelujah. So Jesus is walking, going to his to this guy's home, and this woman who had had this problem for 12 years. One of the things people need to understand, and this is why we're against medical assisted suicide, it's never too late for God. I want you to write it down. Nothing is ever too late for God. If you give it up, then it comes to an end. Except some other person is overly interested in what you're doing. Hallelujah. That person is dependent on you being here. Then that person is going to fight until God does something. Sometimes we fight and we get tired. But if you're willing to fight, you'll be here. Let me put it this way. God is obligated to answer our prayers if we say it according to his will. He wants to do it. He's glad to do it. He's not stingy with miracles. God is not trying, you know, say you ask too much. Look at you. I gave you $5 yesterday. I gave you, you know, your daughter was sick. I healed her. And your cousin was ill. I healed him. You're here again. Look at you. God is not like that. How do we know that? Am I, you know, are we just assuming or imagining that God is like that? No. In James chapter 1, we read from verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Now, that word upbraided is like he doesn't scold you. Say you're coming too much. You're just much of a beggar. Every day you're here. Now, some of us might say that. If your friends are knocking on your door every day, you know, asking for salt, for sugar, for eggs, and all of that, sometime when you see him coming, you're like, you fall asleep. Hallelujah. Just when you thought it was over, he comes with a gallon of empty gasoline. Say, can I get some gasoline from you? Hallelujah. But he only says something. He does not scold us for any of that. So if you've asked a million times, 1,000,001, God will still answer you like he had never seen you before. God is never weary. God does not get worn out. He doesn't have stress. So you're stressing God out. No, it doesn't exist. So we can come as many times as we need his help. Or he tells us something about how to do this thing. He said, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. He said, for let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Hallelujah. Now let's go back to what we were reading and look at those people who received miracles from the Lord. Hallelujah. This man, you know, Jesus also said, except we receive the kingdom of God like a little child, we will not enter into it. Actually, we will not enjoy the benefits of the kingdom. If you tell a little child, hey, when I'm going out right now. When I'm coming back, I'm coming with some, let's say the kid likes lollipop. You say, I'm coming back with some lollipop. When you open the door and you walk in, they will be like, where's the lollipop? Daddy, lollipop. You promised. Now, if you don't do it, you're not going to have some peace that day, because every time the kid remembers lollipop, you're going to be in trouble. So God wants us to be like that. That if he says something, We believe him. We don't need a second opinion concerning what God has said to us. A lot of us have heard promises from God, and we're like, okay, when God gets to my turn, he'll do it. Or when if it's really God, he will do it. If it's not God who said it, it's not going to take place. And that's it. And this is why we despise prophesying, because we do not understand that we need to mix what we have heard with our faith. We have to have some expectation. So she had this problem for 12 long years, 12 years. And she had suffered many things of many physicians, which means they've been cutting, stitching it. Some people give her medication. Some of it, were laxatives. She did all kinds of stuff. The Bible records here that she suffered, which means that she was in pain. The things they did to her were painful. And she had spent all her money. She was broke now. Broke people, a lot of times, the only place they can go is church. Because there's nowhere else to go. Medical science has failed. Nothing is happening. They say, okay, I'm going to go to church. Now, but you don't remain broke when you come to church. That's what I can tell you. If you were broke before you came to church and you're listening, you can't live broke. It is impossible to be broke and be a believer for long. If you came broke, you can't live broke. Our God is a God of miracles. It doesn't even matter where you're coming from. God is an equal opportunity blesser. He will bless you regardless of what people think about you or what they believe about you. As long as you're sincere with him and you're doing what he says to do.